fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now only 8 days away to the kickoff of the World Cup football tournament in Russia. An update now on injured Egyptian star Mohamed Salah, who hurt his shoulder while playing for Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League final on May 26th. Egypt's Argentine coach Hector Cooper says he's optimistic Salah will join the team on Friday or Saturday. And Cooper says he's almost certain Salah will be present for Egypt's first World Cup match against Uruguay on June 15th in Yekaterinburg, Russia. Mo Salah has recently been receiving treatment for his shoulder injury in Spain. Coach Cooper spoke from Brussels, where the Pharaohs of Egypt are playing host Belgium Wednesday in their final friendly World Cup warm-up match. Mo Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year, is coming off a dazzling debut season with Liverpool, in which he scored a record 32 goals in the English Premier League and 44 goals in all competitions. But his shoulder injury in the UEFA Champions League final loss to Real Madrid has many Egyptian fans worried about his fitness as the Pharaohs prepare for their first World Cup appearance in 28 years. And this birthday note, Mo Salah wasn't even born back in 1990 when Egypt last played at the World Cup in Italy. Salah will celebrate his 26th birthday on June 15th when Egypt plays Uruguay. And I'm sure Coach Cooper and Egyptian fans want one of his birthday presents to be match fit for the World Cup. Mighty Mo, we want you match fit for the World Cup. Meanwhile, Real Madrid defender Sergio Ramos says an initial arm grab by Salah led to the Liverpool striker's injury. Salah left the field in tears after landing heavily on his shoulder in a challenge with Ramos. Many Liverpool and Egyptian supporters have blamed Ramos for the clash, which went unpunished by the referee in Kiev, Ukraine. An Egyptian lawyer even filed a lawsuit against Ramos for what he describes as the physical and psychological harm caused to the people of Egypt. For his part, Sergio Ramos is quoted as saying, "Bloody hell! They've given this Salah thing a lot of attention. I didn't want to speak because everything is magnified. I spoke with Salah through messages. He was quite good. He could have played if he got an injection for the second half. I've done it sometimes, but when Ramos does something like this, it sticks a little bit more." I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More World Cup news. Host Russia will kick off soccer's premier event without a win in 7 matches after drawing with Turkey 1-1 in a friendly international played Tuesday in the capital, Moscow. Alexander Samodov put Russia ahead in the 36th minute with a chip shot over goalkeeper Serkan Kirintili from a tight angle off a pass from Alan Jagoev. Turkey equalized in the 60th minute when the Russians failed to close down substitute midfielder Yunus Mali, who hit a low and hard shot past Russian goalkeeper Igor Akinfeev. Russia will host Saudi Arabia in Moscow on June 14th in the opening World Cup match. The game will be played at Luzhniki Stadium, which also will be the venue for the World Cup final on July 15th. Elsewhere, two-time World Cup champion Argentina has called off a friendly match against Israel, scheduled for Saturday in Jerusalem, following protests by pro-Palestinian groups. The sold-out game was opposed by Palestinians, who claim the eastern part of the contested city of Jerusalem. However, the Israeli embassy in Argentina blamed what it called threats and provocations against Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi. Jibril Rajoub, head of the Palestinian Football Association, had encouraged fans to burn shirts bearing Messi's name if he decided to play. Messi has previously expressed support for the Palestinian cause. In 2014, in his role as a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, Lionel Messi shared on his Facebook page a photo of him holding an injured Palestinian child and pleaded for the violence to stop. Messi and Argentina are in Group D at the World Cup in Russia, along with Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria. Argentina will play Iceland June 16th in Moscow in the opening World Cup match for both teams. That same day, Nigeria will play Croatia in Kaliningrad, Russia. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are playing the Czech Republic on Wednesday in Austria in the final World Cup warm-up match for the Nigerian team. The captain of the World Cup-bound Super Eagles is John Obi Mikel.
I think history for us is, I think, I don't want to put any pressure on this young team. I don't think it's fair to put a lot of pressure on this young team. For us to go out there and do well, we have to go out well there and give a good performance, give a good account of ourselves. I think for us, that is success. We are not favorites to win the World Cup. We know that. So for us, we are underdogs. We want to go into this tournament as an underdog. So hopefully we can play with less pressure, and hopefully we can go further, like more than we did 4 years ago. So we are looking forward to it. We are ready. Let's see what happens.
That's John Obi Mikel, the captain of Nigeria's World Cup-bound Super Eagles. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As Russia prepares to host the World Cup, an amateur football club based in St. Petersburg is getting media attention. FC Maxima features immigrants from Egypt, Mali, Cameroon, and other countries. VOA's Mariama Jallo tells us more about the club, and Mariama kicks off with a window washer from Uzbekistan.
A long way from his native Uzbekistan, Rustam Mustafakulov spends long, tedious hours hanging from the sides of buildings, cleaning windows. What keeps him going is the end of his shift when he gets together with teammates to play football.
We have been playing together for so many years. We have all become friends.
The father of three played professionally in the Uzbekistan League before joining FC Maxima, an amateur team set up to help new immigrants in Russia. Since joining, he no longer pays attention to the public taunts.
Sometimes some people say they are fine about us. Others don't and say that we have taken work away from them.
The amateur soccer team brings together migrants from around the world, many who have endured hardships integrating into a foreign country. The team was founded in 2007 in St. Petersburg by coach Bakhtiar Yusupov, who was also an immigrant.
Our main goal was to make every man who came to the team feel at home, and regardless of their social status, whether he's a freight handler or a supervisor.
The team includes players from Uzbekistan, Mali, Cameroon, Armenia, and Egypt, and comes together for practice several times a week. One player says so far he's been greeted warmly by Russians.
I came here because I heard a lot about Russia, about its culture. I also heard a lot of people talking about racism here. They were telling me that this is still a very closed country and a hard one to live in. So far, it's been the opposite.
Mohamed Hafez, who once played professionally in Egypt, says Team Maxima may be his ticket back into the big leagues.
This is my dream, to play, and I will not give up. God willing, I will make this come true.
Hafez's family, a wife and a young daughter, are his biggest fans right now. But so far from home, belonging to this team of soccer-playing migrants helps keep his dream alive. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Thanks, Mariama. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a French Open tennis update is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In a stunning upset, Serbian Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open tournament. He lost his quarterfinal match to Italy's Marco Cecchinato, 6-3, 7-6, 1-6, 7-6. After his loss, Joko said he struggled at the start of the match.
From the beginning, fortunately, it took me time to get well, and I struggled with a little injury as well at the beginning. And after, when I warmed up, it was better. But pity that I couldn't capitalize on the chances and 4-1 in the fourth set, and some break points I thought I had him there, but he came back, and credit to him.
And Djokovic gave praise to his opponent.
It's never been hard for me to congratulate and hug the opponent that just we shared a great moment on the court, and the one that won deserved to win the match, and that was Marco today. And I know him well, he's a great guy, he deserved, and That's something that everybody should do, I guess. But on the other hand, when you walk off the court, of course, it's hard one to swallow.
The Joker also expressed his thanks in the Twitter sphere, writing simply, "Congratulations to Marco on his strong performance. Thank you, Paris. Thank you." Eagle-eyed viewers who watched the quarterfinal match also tweeted their observations that crowd noise could have played a part in Joko's drop points. One tweeter wrote, "Djokovic appeals to the crowd in dismay as he is put off before shanking a shot." That observation proved to be a popular one. Another wrote, "Djokovic could have won that set point with his forehand in the fourth had the crowd been quiet till the end of the point. Hashtag not the first time." As for the future, Djokovic told reporters he is not sure if he will be playing on grass, which means his appearance at Wimbledon next month might be in question. Marco Cecchinato broke down in tears after the match and told reporters the victory has changed his life. He next faces Austrian Dominic Thiem as they duke it out for a place in Sunday's final match. Also on the men's side, two quarterfinal matches will be played on Wednesday. Croatian Marin Cilic against Juan Martin Del Potro of Argentina, and Spain's Rafael Nadal against Argentine Diego Schwartzman. On the women's side, it will be an All-American semifinal showdown between Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys. Stephens claimed a comfortable victory on Tuesday in a quarterfinal match against Daria Kasatkina, winning in straight sets, 6-3, 6-1. Keys booked her spot in the semifinals with a more challenging win over Yulia Putintseva of Russia, 7-6, 6-4. The last time the two Americans faced each other was in last year's U.S. Open final, where Stephens claimed the women's singles title. On Tuesday, she spoke about competing against Madison Keys again this year.
I think for both of us, that was the biggest moment of both of our careers last year playing in the finals of the U.S. Open. I think here a lot has happened since then. We're both playing well in the semis of a Grand Slam. Obviously, it's just another opportunity. It's great for American tennis to have two Americans in the semifinals of the French Open, I think is pretty incredible. And that means that one American will be in the final of the French Open, which is another amazing thing. So all in all, I don't think anyone can complain.
Their French Open semifinal match will be played on Thursday. In other quarterfinal action, Simona Halep of Romania defeated Germany's Angelique Kerber, 6-7, 6-3, 6-2. And Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza upset Russia's Maria Sharapova in straight sets, 6-2, 6-1. On Thursday, Halep and Muguruza face each other in the semifinals. Moving on to soccer, I got to give a shout-out to Iran for being the first team to arrive in Russia. This year marks Iran's sixth appearance at the World Cup, and they will no doubt be rested and ready for their opening match against Morocco in Group B. That match will be played in 9 days on June 15th. But there are only 8 days until the World Cup kicks off. And here is a quickie fun fact for the number eight. Scotland have participated in the FIFA World Cup 8 times, but they have never advanced beyond the first stage. They failed to qualify for this year's tournament, so for now, they hold steady at number eight. This year's World Cup kicks off in 8 days on June 14th. Hey, and don't forget, FIFA will decide between 2 bids for the 2026 World Cup a week from today. Will it be Morocco or the joint bid from the United States, Mexico, and Canada? Stay tuned. That's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. Lots of World Cup news. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now is another VOA colleague, Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of The Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Always a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you in the studio, Mwamoyo. I know the NBA Finals resume later Wednesday night, but recently, the National Basketball Association announced its annual NBA Africa game, scheduled for Saturday, August 4th at Sun Arena in Pretoria, South Africa. The game will feature a Team Africa versus a Team World. How about running down the roster for Team Africa?
Okay, here's the team for Team Africa. But remember, our good friend Dikembe Mutombo was always, you know, involved in the beginning of this game.
That's right. That's right.
When NBA took basketball to Africa, so we always have to mention him in this effort.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him there.
He'll be there. He'll definitely be there. He has always attended. Here's the Team Africa: Joel Embiid, Philadelphia. These are people, players who either they come straight from Africa or have their parentage relations in Africa. So Joel Embiid, Cameroon, Al-Farouq Aminu, Portland Trail Blazers. He's a U.S. Citizen but parents from Nigeria. Bismack Biyombo, Orlando Magic. He's from Democratic Republic of Congo. Sheikh Diallo, New Orleans Pelicans, Mali. Evan Fournier, Magic, France, parent from Algeria. Serge Ibaka, Toronto Raptors, Republic of Congo. Timothy Luwalu Cabaron, 76ers. He's from France, but his parents are from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Pascal Siakam, who plays for Raptors, from Cameroon.
Interesting lineup. Let me run down a few of the players from Team World who will be playing on August 4th. DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. Harrison Barnes of the Dallas Mavericks. Danilo Gallinari of the Los Angeles Clippers. He's Italian. Rudy Gay of the San Antonio Spurs. Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Hassan Whiteside. He plays for the Miami Heat. I like the idea of this game.
It's going to be a very interesting game. I mean, it's a fun game. It's like an NBA All-Stars transported to African soil. So it's going to be a fun game. And the players, you know, you got a good number of, you know, good players in there, so they will represent.
And good exposure for that young African player who one day hopes to make it to the NBA.
Hopes to be SJ Ibaka or Dikembe Mutombo. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the NBA Finals resume Wednesday night, Mwamoyo, in Cleveland, Ohio. LeBron James and the Cavaliers up against it, really. Down 2 games to none. Well, your thoughts?
Well, this is a make or break night for Cleveland Cavaliers. They're down 2-0. They're playing at home. So, and we all know what happened in game one. They let that go. And so you're thinking that, okay, you know, game two, they appeared to be affected by what happened in game one. So you can give them that. But now they're back home. And when you play home in the playoffs, the role players usually they perform very well. So here's what looks like a big hope for Cleveland Cavaliers. The role players, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, who had a lot of trouble in game one,
right.
Kevin Love, if they are on point, and they're all three-point shooters, if they are on point, they shoot threes, they make two or three or four or five threes, LeBron is going to get his 45. They have a very good chance of winning game three. But then again, everybody's watching them to see, have they overcome what happened in Oakland? They have overcome, this is the night to show it. If they lose this game, it's over.
Memorial, you talk about the importance of that three-point shot for Cleveland. Stephen Curry coming off an NBA Finals. I think he hit 9 three-point shots in game two.
And broke Ray Allen's record of 8 three-points in NBA Finals.
Can he carry it over to Cleveland?
He can. I mean, the way he shoots it, he can. Because he can shoot it so free from any place in the field. So, I mean, this guy is so dangerous. The sky is the limit.
And you talk about the sky being the limit. I guess the sky's the limit when it comes to, like, some of these salaries in the NBA, Mario. Tell our listeners about a new list that has come out about NBA salaries.
That just came out. 27 players in the NBA will make at least $23 million a year.
Wow.
And who is number one? Steph Curry. He's making $34.7 million. For a long time, for many years, Steph Curry was the bargain in the NBA because he wasn't getting paid all that much money because when he signed, when he first signed, he wasn't that good and he had ankle problems, health problems, so he wasn't making that much money. But when he resigned last year, now he's making $34.7 million a year. LeBron James is number two, $33.3 million. Paul Millsap. Paul who?
Paul he's Millsap, number three. Yeah.
Number three of Denver Nuggets, $3.8 million. Gordon Hayward, $29.7 million. He's Boston. Blake Griffith, number five, $29.5 million. Kyle Lowry, $28.7 million. Mike Conley of Memphis and Russell Westbrook, they're tied at number seven with $28.5 million. James Harden, $28.3 million at number nine. And number 10 is DeMar DeRozan, $27.7 million. So my question is, why aren't you playing the NBA?
I think I have to work on my three-point shot a little bit, Mamoyo. Now, with these salaries, that doesn't incorporate, like, endorsements and commercials and type of thing.
That's something else. So players like Steph Curry could be making $34.7 million, but LeBron James might be making more because he has more endorsement than Steph Curry at the moment. Steph Curry hasn't been, you know, getting the endorsement that he should get. Maybe after this, you know, finals, he might go up there and make even more in endorsement. But LeBron James has a lot of endorsements, commercials, products, and all that. So he's when you add all that up, he's probably number one right now.
LeBron James, question marks whether he'll stay in Cleveland after the NBA Finals, Memorial. Some have said maybe he'll sign a one-year contract with Cleveland to stay with the Cavaliers. Your thoughts?
All teams are thrown in there. Philadelphia, L.A. Lakers, everybody is looking at where would he go? But, you know, it's hard to tell, really. You know, if he gets good money, he just might stay with Cleveland Cavaliers.
Do you think it'll hurt his reputation at all if he goes somewhere else?
I don't think, not at this point. After the Miami thing, you know, now that he came back, he won the title for Cleveland. People, I think, will be more lenient with him if he moves somewhere else. And you know, I mean, now there's this kind of acceptable culture that, you know, marquee players can move from one team to another. KD did that. You know, there was some noises at the beginning, but now people have accepted it.
Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. Thank you, Mwamoyo. And that wraps up the June 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On May 8th, health officials in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, reported two confirmed cases of Ebola in the country's northwest. It is the DRC's ninth outbreak of the disease since the discovery of the virus near the country's Ebola River, and the second since the largest ever Ebola epidemic swept across West Africa from 2014 to 2015. Ebola is a viral hemorrhagic fever with average mortality rates ranging from 25 to 90%, depending on the specific strain. According to the World Health Organization, by the end of December 2015, the epidemic that devastated West Africa sickened 28,616 people and killed 11,310 across 10 countries. Ebola is a disease of the thick forest, where people and wild animals exist in close proximity. Here, people are more likely to eat bushmeat or wild-caught game that may be infected with the disease. That is one of the reasons why Ebola is endemic in the DRC, meaning it is always present there at some level. Since the earliest cases of this outbreak were reported in the DRC's forested region of Bikoro, they have spread to Mbandaka, a major port city. There is now a possibility that the infection could travel down the Congo River to more densely populated areas, such as Kinshasa, the capital, with its population of 10 million. On May 22nd, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar announced that the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, will contribute up to $7 million at this stage to combat the Ebola outbreak in the DRC. This is in addition to the $1 million USAID committed a few days earlier to help prevent the spread of this deadly disease. The United States is also sending a team of public health experts to join the efforts of the Ministry of Health of the DRC, the World Health Organization, and other partners. At the same time, we call on the global community to make funding available immediately to support the government of the DRC and the World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Fund, the Contingency Fund for Emergencies, in order to contain the outbreak as soon as possible before it spreads further and harms more people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we look at the heroic rescue of a child by a migrant from Mali and examine the forces that pushed him out of Africa and into Europe. What are the factors that propel people to leave their country? And why is Europe such an alluring destination? On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.